Rio Grande Oil Company.
Lieutenant Police calling all cars, attention all cars. Attention all Los Angeles County Sheriff's cars, broadcast 108. A dead body has been found under the Spring Street Bridge in North Long Beach. That's all. Rosie.
Sensational announcement a few weeks ago, Rio Grande revolutionized the gasoline industry. Today, the independent dealers selling Rio Grande's new G-Gas have the gasoline bootleggers on the run. Refiners of sulfuric, carbon-laden gasolines are losing business, regardless of their cut prices, because motorists now know that no gasoline is safe to use unless it equals United States Government Specification Number BBG-101. Rio Grande offers motorists the first low-price gasoline guaranteed to exceed this government specification. Rio Grande's new G-Gas sets a new high-quality standard in the low-price market. If you are tempted to buy cut-price gasoline, first ask to see a written guarantee that it meets government specifications. If it doesn't, don't buy it. Drive into a Rio Grande station. Look at the written guarantee on the G-Gas pump, proving that it exceeds United States government specifications. The new G-Gas is the finest gasoline in the low-price field. But make no mistake, fine as it is, Rio Grande's G-Gas is not as good a value as Rio Grande cracked gasoline. For very little more per gallon, you get 100% efficiency, tetraethyl, and police car performance. You see, Rio Grande's cracked gasoline is refined by a patented process so that it exceeds even government top-grade emergency certification. That's why police officials of so many communities have chosen cracked in competition with every other gasoline available to power more police cars, ambulances, fire engines, and other emergency equipment than any other brand. So if you are a user of low-priced gasoline, protect yourself by getting Rio Grande's guaranteed G-Gas. But if you want the best buy for your money, more speed, more power, more mileage, more value, then use the gasoline police cars use. Rio Grande Crack. Tonight, Calling All Cars presents as guest artist the well-known English stage and screen star, Miss Elsie Preston, who will be holding tonight's dramatization in the part of Mrs. Lady Randall. And now it is our great pleasure to present Sheriff Dean Diskley of Los Angeles County. Sheriff Diskley.
Good evening, my friends. There's an old saying that there's honor among thieves. During the racketeer days of Prohibition, the press, the literature, and the cinema of the nation made much of this alleged stern code of ethics and honor which prevailed in the underworld. We law enforcement officers who should be in a position to know find little evidence of this asserted quality in the criminal. We find the opposite. There is no honor among thieves. Yes, habitual lawbreaker, we find, is a conscienceless creature who is interested only in saving himself. The story which we bring you tonight from the office of my Bureau of Investigation tells of a group of self-styled hard guys who operated upon this unsound logic. They ran true to form, just as they all do. But when you bring any would-be big-shot criminal out into the open and take his gun away from him, he becomes the most spineless, loathsome, and skulking parasite our civilization has produced, and foolishly tolerates. And now a word to the youngsters who may be listening. Don't believe that these criminals you hear about on Calling All Cars are dashing, heroic, and romantic figures, for they are not. They are dishonest, lazy, and stupid. Dishonest and lazy because they would rather steal and earn a living. stupid because they think they can get away with it. And boys and girls, they never do.
It is a few days after Christmas in 1932. Mrs. Grace Walsh and two girlfriends who are house guests have just retired when there's a knock at the door. Bertha Gray, one of the guests, goes to the door.
Who's there?
Is Gray home?
Who is it?
I said it. Let me hear it.
Just a minute. What do you want, Bertha?
Never mind what we want.
Well, look here now. You can't push me off like that. What do you do? Please, could you hold up? It doesn't look like perfect. Oh, please.
Quiet, you. I'll let you have it.
Well, don't point that gun at me. You scare me.
All right, be quiet then.
Just a minute there, Mrs. Walsh. Where do you think you're going?
Why, that is...
Back in the bedroom there. I want to talk to you. You two, into the bedroom here.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Joe.
Yeah?
Come on in here. Shorty, frisk the joint.
Okay.
What are you going to do, kill us?
Oh, no, don't worry. You two just sit down on the bed there, back to back. That's it. Now, Joe, tie them together with a bed sheet.
All right.
Fine. Looks like a pair of Siamese twins. Now, Mrs. Walsh, give me a diamond ring.
I haven't any ring.
Listen, lady, I ain't got any time to monkey. Now, you give me those rings or I'll let this get go right in your face. You look pretty then, wouldn't you? A hot lead slug might make your mascara run a little, huh?
You can't frighten me, you hoodlum.
I ain't trying to. I'm just telling you what's going to happen to you unless you give and give quick.
Oh, tell him, Grace. Let him have the ring. Why, my goodness, he saved himself. The bullet might kill me, too.
He hasn't got the nerve.
Oh, no? I'll give you three to tell me where they are. One, two.
Oh, Grace, for heaven's sake, tell him.
Are the rings all you want?
What else you got?
Nothing.
You don't think we're interested in your mouths, do you? Where are the rings?
They're hidden in my shoe under the bed.
Huh?
Right in front of you.
Oh, yeah, I see. Is this all there is?
Yes. You can't get anything for those rings now. You know diamonds are cheap.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can't get $100 for them.
I'm afraid you're right. That guy's your plate of suckers, putting a finger on this joint. Well, he said that stuff is worth a grand.
It will cost me nearly $1,000, but you can't get over 100 for them. You try to sell it to a friend. But of course, I know where you can get more for them.
Where?
I'll buy them back from you.
For how much?
I'll give you 500 for them. They mean a lot to me. They have a sentimental value.
Sell them back to you and have you squawk to the bulls? Not much.
I won't stop. I swear it to you.
You'd better not, squat. Look here. See these plugs in this gas? We'll fill you full of them if you squat.
But I won't. I just want to get my rings back.
Well, I'll get in touch with a man who'll talk to you about it in a couple of days.
Thanks a lot.
And remember, no squawking to the cops.
Aren't you going to untie us?
No. That mall that's out cold near the room will unleash her when she wakes up. Come on, boy, let's get out of here.
I must say, you three are perfect gentlemen.
And a half hour later, in the apartment of Mrs. Sadie Ransom, proprietor of the Elite Hotel on South Broadway, the three folks are crouched around the kitchen table expecting their meal.
Hey, Sadie, got a pair of pliers?
Yes, the boys in here.
Bring them in.
Okay, honey.
Daddy, did you call that double-crossing cop and tell him to get up here?
Yeah.
Can you imagine it, singing a joint like that for us? Guaranteeing us that there'd be a grand at least in it? No, we get a free bum diamond ring.
Here it is, honey.
Okay, thanks. Now, this prize and sparkler's out of the setting. Oh, the gold away.
Well, how about that one there? That's pretty swell-looking stone. That set itself ought to be worth something.
All right, we'll keep that one the way it is.
Hey, Mickey.
What is it, Joe?
I don't like the looks of this thing.
What do you mean?
I want to get out.
Okay, get out.
Yeah, but I want my cut.
How can I give you a cut when I don't know what it's going to be?
Well, you could give me, say, $30, and I'll forget I ever went down there with you.
What's the matter? Got cold feet?
I don't know, Mickey. I just don't like it.
Okay, scram then.
When do I get the dough?
When we puddle the ice. I'll let you know.
Okay, Mickey. No hard feeling.
Forget it.
You know how it is with the wife and the kids and I don't want to get in those
clothes. Yeah, I know how it is. Now scram.
Well, so long, Mickey.
So long.
Huh. What a yellow rat he is.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on him. He's square at the top of a hat.
Don't you think we ought to bump him off and make sure he don't?
Not yet. Just keep an eye on him. See where that is, will you, Katie?
Okay. You set, Mickey.
Send him in here.
Well, boys,
how's it been going? Why, you double-crosser, we ought to rub you out.
Now, wait a minute. What's the beef? I ain't done nothing.
You told us there was a grand in rock down there.
Well, there is.
Here,
you
call it. Call it a grand? Look, three bum rings. They ain't worth $100. The game itself, they tell.
You're over to buy them back for $500. That's the most we could get for them anyway.
Now, wait a minute, you guys. How much do you know about diamonds?
Well, anybody can see that these aren't worth anything.
Yeah? That's all you know about it.
We ought to rub you out for giving us a bum steal like this.
I didn't give you no bum steal. Well, I can go out and get a grand for this one ring here alone. Alone what you can get for those two small ones.
You can?
Sure.
Okay, you take the ring and get a grand for it.
Wait a minute, Mickey. You ain't going to let this cheap tinhorn walk out of here with that rock, are you?
Say, Shorty, I heard about enough out of you.
You ain't heard nothing yet. I got a mind to fix you.
All right, Shorty, hold on.
I don't see no sense in letting this mug have the ring.
Listen, Shorty, he knows where to peddle it and we don't, see?
Well, I'd rather get $100 and have the sense in my pocket than let him sell it for a grand and never see the color of his money.
I ain't going to take a powder on you.
How do I know that?
Listen, Shorty, stocks is on the up and up. He'll do the right thing.
Well, if he don't, I'll take him for a nice long ride.
You sure sound like a tough guy, Shorty.
I know my racket. And I say you don't get the ring.
And I say he does. You want to make something of that?
Well, if he don't walk back here with a grand, it'll be on your neck too, Mickey.
Don't worry, boys. I'll get you a grand for it. I know a gambler down on Spring Street. He'll buy it.
To the gambler on Spring Street goes Fox Brewer, the finger man. Within a half hour, he's sitting in the big Fox office.
Well, Doc, what can I do for you?
A little girl.
I had London money.
I got security.
What?
This rock.
Ain't worth much.
I know it.
Where'd you get it?
What do you care?
I don't.
How much?
Well, let's have $100 on it.
That's okay.
There you are.
Thanks.
Can do a little gambling?
Maybe.
Doc does a little gambling that night, and before he leaves the joint, he has lost $100. Next morning, Mickey calls him.
Hello?
Hello, Pat. This is Mickey.
Yeah?
You get the bill for that room?
Say, Mickey, I'm in a spot about that.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mickey, I lost the ring.
You lost it?
Yeah.
Why?
If I knew, I'd go find it. I stuck it in my vest pocket when I left your joint last night. When I got downtown, it wasn't there. There was a hole in my pocket.
And all that puts me with
trouble. I know, Mickey, and I'll try to make it up. Just give me a couple of days, and I'll raise some dough somewhere.
You better raise some dough, and you better raise it fast.
That is the last Mickey hears of Doc. Several days go by, and he and Shorty travel to Long Beach to try to find him, but no one has seen Doc for a week. Shorty is growing impatient. 2 weeks after the robbery, he is sitting with a friend, drinking home tea.
If you ask me, Bill, I think they're pulling a double fault on this. My guess is that Doc stole the ring and took the dough with Mickey. I think that mug is holding out.
Yeah, I wouldn't, Shorty. I never did like Mickey anyway.
Well, you know, nobody can double-cross me and get away with it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have a showdown on this thing right now.
Well, if you need any help, start on me.
Okay, you're in.
What are you going to do for it?
I'm going to call Mickey over at Sadie's place and give him just one more chance.
Waiting for it.
nothing. I just got 12 hours to live, that's all.
But Mickey does not wait until this night. By 8 o'clock on the evening of January 17th, he enters Bill's apartment.
Hello,
boys.
Hello, Mickey.
Want some
beer?
I never touch a drink, Mickey.
Oh, I forgot.
Well, how about it, Mickey? You got the dough?
No. Now, look here, Shorty. You got to be reasonable about this.
I've been reasonable, Mickey. Now I want that dough.
But I tell you, I can't find Doc.
I told you not to give him the rock in the first place.
I know you did, but I thought he was on the up and up. How was I to know he'd cross us up?
Well, I could tell by looking at him.
Anyway, I don't think he has crossed us up. He lost the ring and he's trying to raise the dough somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Sure. Naturally, he don't want to get in touch with me until he has it.
Listen, you talk like a baby in arms.
Well, I believe his story.
Well, I don't. Now, listen. I'll give you until midnight to get that dough.
I know, but Christ, what do you want me to do? Blow up a bank? I can't do anything. My hands are tied.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go down to Long Beach and try and find that house. And if we do, we'll get that dough out of him or drop him off the dock in a barrel of wet cement. I'm sick and tired of this story.
I want to see him just as bad as you do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. Come along, Bill. We might need your help.
Yeah, you're mighty good.
The three men go to Mrs. Ransom's car, which Shorty had previously borrowed, and start for Long Beach. But they never arrive. As they are approaching the Spring Street Bridge over the San Miguel River north of the city.
Got any idea where you're going to look for Shorty?
Yeah, I have, Mickey.
How about you here, Shorty?
Let's go to me. Pull up.
There's nothing out here. No houses, nothing. What is Shorty be doing out here?
I ain't interested in that. Get out.
What for?
Don't give me your argument. Get out.
What's your big idea, Shorty?
This is a showdown. You understand?
Yes, but...
I'm doing it, Bucky. Your turn to come next. I want to know what you did with the money from that rock.
I never got no money for that rock. I told you the truth. Sark stole me and told me he lost it. And I ain't seen him or the ring since.
You're lying, Mickey. Sark stole that ring and you split the dough.
That isn't true, Shorty.
Listen, Mickey. Nobody's ever double-crossed me and got rid of it. Now... what'd you do with your pocket money?
I ain't got no cut, Shorty. I swear to God, I ain't.
What is this stuff over here with me, Shorty? Give it to him. Mother,
no. No, Shorty. Bill, for God's sake, don't. Don't. I've been telling you the truth. I swear
now
I can.
Now, you can't take it, huh, Mickey?
Sure I can take it. Sure I can. I got more jets than you ever had. I ain't got nothing to lose but my life. I'm clean. I'm on the up and up. Go on, rub me out. Rub me out and see if you can take it. You're a big shot with a rod in your face, ain't you? You're a cheap little hijacker.
Yeah.
Well, can't you do a better job of me?
Yeah. That did the work. Come on, Bill. Let's dump him over this bridge here. Come on. There he goes.
Elvis, fine speaking.
There's a dead man down here. He's been caught.
And where?
Under the Spring Street Bridge, where Spring Street crosses the San Gabriel River, north of Long Beach.
Who's speaking?
Well, I don't want to tell you.
Why not?
Well, I was out with some other guy's wife when I found the body. I don't want to be mixed up in this. You just come on down here. You'll find it.
Captain Bright and Deputy Sheriff Brewster, Ben Frey, Contreras, Hutchinson, and Barnard drive quickly to the scene of the crime, where they find Mickey's body drilled by bullets lying in the mud of the river bottom. While powerful automobile searchlights play on the scene, the officers go over every square inch of ground for a
yes? What is it, Ben Frey?
Oh, God, I just found the victim's coat.
Light Hotel, South Broadway. Mrs. Sadie Ransom, proprietor.
Connor?
Yes, sir.
Go to this address and see if you can get a line on this corpse. Let me take your hat and watch along, will you? And bring this wrench and move down to the morgue to identify the body. It'll be there by the time you arrive.
Yes, sir.
Right away.
And while Deputy Sheriff Warner is speeding toward Los Angeles, Shorty returns to the hotel.
Oh, Shorty, I've been getting really crazy. Take it easy. What you doing? What happened?
Missy and Doc both come across her.
What do you mean? Shorty, where's Missy? For Pete's sake, tell me.
Missy's dead. I'll bump him off. Oh! I'll fight down your street instead.
He said, see? Yes. Missy? James? No. No. I can't believe it.
It's so.
And you killed him?
Yes.
I love you, Shorty. Oh,
he never saw me. He told me he and Doc stole the ring and spent it all. He had a fight. He took the pass at me and I let him have it. Listen, baby, this is great. This is the fourth guy that double-crossed me, and they've all gone the same way. There's none of them double-crossed me to get away from it. You get me? Okay. And you decide that.
Probably
the boat now. I'm taking
the powder.
You talk to him and you don't know nothing, see?
Yes? What is it? Is this one of your cards? Yes. Why? I'm from the sheriff's
office. What's the matter? Is anything wrong? Yes. You recognize this hat and this watch?
Why, yes. I think they belong to Mickey Ehrman, a boarder's man.
That's fine. Put on your hat and coat. We're going to the morgue. Where have you got that long beach shooting poster?
Right there behind you.
Pull down the sheet, will you? Thanks.
No.
Well, is that the body of Mickey Arno, your boarder, Mrs. Van Hoo?
No.
Next morning, Captain Bright holds a council of war with his men who have spent half the night setting up on Mickey Arno's friends, acquaintances, and relatives.
Well, boys, what have you got?
Well, after Mrs. Ransom identified the body, she took me out to Compton, where I interviewed Arno's brother-in-law. From him, I learned the identity of Joe Enfriante. He's been mixed up with Arno in some crazy deals. I asked Contreras to bring him in.
Where is he north, Contreras?
I got him outside, Captain.
Good. We'll question him a little later. Hello? Yes, he's right here. Just a minute. To you, Barnard.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Hello?
Yes? It is, huh? Okay, I'll be right out. Hey, he's just walked into Mrs. Ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Another call of Arnold. Mrs. Ransom promised me she'd get me off if he came around. I'll see you later, boy.
Okay. Could I bring in this man at your Contreras?
Yes, sir.
All right,
come
on in, Jordan. Yes, sir. Sit down. Over there.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Joe Enfriante.
Did you kill Mr. Urno?
No.
Who did?
I don't know.
Do you know Mr. Urno?
Yes.
How long?
About 4 months.
Do you know Shorty Hayes?
Yes.
What did you kill Mickey for?
I didn't kill him.
Now, we know you were mixed up with some shady deals with him.
I ain't mixed up in murder. I got a wife and kids. I ain't hot.
What jobs were you on with Mickey?
Oh, I wasn't on any jobs with him.
We know different.
Well, only one.
Where?
I only drove the car down and drove it back. I'm clean, I tell you. I just drove Mickey down there, Mickey and Shorty. Then I drove them back, and they showed me some diamonds when they got back.
How many diamonds?
Oh, a couple of three rings. I'm clean, I tell you.
When was this?
Oh, Christmas week sometime.
Sounds like a great war robbery, Jeb.
Right.
What did you murder him for?
I didn't murder Mickey. I ain't seen Mickey since that night. All right. I was in on that robbery. But I didn't do no bump off.
All right, then. Stop talking about that robbery. And while Deputy Sheriff Farner speeds toward Mrs. Ransom's hotel, Joe Enfriante still tells the details of the Great Wolf robbery. Talks fast to save his neck from the long stretch from which there is no rebound. And at the hotel of Mrs. Ransom.
Hello, Mrs.
Ransom.
Where is he?
He just went out for packing his cigarettes.
What is this, a runaround?
No, I swear it isn't. Come here. Sit down. He'll be back in a minute.
I told you to keep him here.
It's okay. He'll be back. I won't hold him back for you. I've got a little girl. I won't get him mixed up in trouble.
When did he come back?
About half an hour ago.
What did he say?
Well, he said, I read the paper. And I told him you were looking for him. And he said, what for? And I said, they want to question with his friend. They've got Joe to train him. And he turned around real quick and he said, what?
They did, huh?
And I said, Shorty, I said, don't you think you'd better report him? I told him I promised to call you. And he said, okay, call the bill. I can prove my alibi, all right?
And then you let him go again.
No, I didn't. Listen, here he comes up the phone now.
I hope.
This is Deputy Sheriff Farmer, Shorty.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want to ask you a few questions, Shorty.
Okay with me.
Want to take a ride down to the captain's office?
Sure, I just love to ride in police cars. Come on, let's go.
Cocky, self-assured, Shorty Hayes accompanies Deputy Sheriff Barnard's headquarters, there to face Captain Bright.
What's your name?
Fred Hayes.
Ever been arrested before?
Yes, twice.
What for?
Shoot and pass once, pay the $10 fine.
And the second time?
Pick up for drunk, then they let me go.
This picture here, Marcello County number 72228. Who is that there, my Hayes? You?
Yes.
I know you, yes, huh?
Yes.
Who is Fred Bates?
I don't know.
Fred Miller?
Never heard of him.
And Joe Miller? Not the one that wrote the joke book.
I don't know.
Surely your memory is bad. But they're all idiots for Fred Hayes. How many times have you been in this jail?
Twice. Only two times I've been in jail alive.
Oh, come on now, sure. You've got a record as long as my arm. It's all here on this card. Suspicious of burglary, forgery, passing bad checks. You've been on the bad book for 5 years. You're an ex-con, and you served 2 years of a 14-year sleep in Quentin. Isn't that right?
What are you asking me for? You didn't know all about me.
You're darn right I do, and a lot more. Now, why did you kill Mickey Erno?
I didn't kill Mickey Erno.
Ever own a gun?
No.
And what did you carry empty shells around in your pocket for? Sound like loose change?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You showed Mrs. Ransom a handful of empty shells after you came back and told her that you bumped off Eno. Now, why did you do that?
I ain't talking.
No? Well, that won't do you any good. What did you do with the diamonds you stole from Mrs. Walsh in Long Beach Christmas week?
I ain't talking.
And how about that poor girl you smacked in the kitchen?
I never smacked any woman in the kitchen.
No? And Mrs. Ransom tells you she was threatening to bump her off if she talked.
Well, I can take the piece, but I ain't going around smacking dames or threatening any dames.
You got some interesting witnesses lined up who will say you did. Mrs. Walsh has already identified your picture.
I never smacked any dames except that Ma I hit with a beer bottle once. I didn't hurt her none. And she had to come to her anyway.
Now, we got Joe Impianti upstairs, and he told us all about that robbery in Long Beach. And the boys are bringing in Scott Brewer. And Mrs. Ransom is worried more about her little daughter's future than she is about your threat. And she told us all that she knows. And that'll be enough to put you in a tough spot.
Listen, I can take it. See, you can't scare me.
I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to make you see sense.
Looks like I'm going away for a long time. Looks like my neck's going to stretch. But I can take it, see. Boy, I can take it. You can't scare me. You can't make me talk. I'm not.
Who is in on this job with you?
I ain't talking.
Why did you bump off Mickey?
I ain't talking.
Why did you bump off Mickey Erno?
I ain't talking. Only.
Only what?
Only I can take the piece. Oh, how I can take it. Go ahead, stretch my neck. I can take it like a man.
Chief Criminal Deputy Sheriff Bright and his assistant officers got them all. Shorty Hayes received a life term in San Quentin for murder, and Bill Doolin, his partner in crime, got the same measure of justice. Scott Brewer went to San Quentin for robbery, and Joe Entrianti, pleading guilty to robbery, got 2 years in the county road camp and 8 more years probation. The ironic part of the thing is that Mickey Erno had been honest with Shorty, but Shorty operated on the opposite theory from that of your law enforcement officer. With him, everyone was guilty until he proved himself innocent, and he didn't give hapless Mickey Erno the chance to make the proof.
Thank you, Sheriff Hayes. Free. To boys and girls, Rio Grande offers free gifts. And to all motorists, Rio Grande offers more speed than you can ever use, more power than you'll ever need, more mileage, more value for your money. You get all these extra features free with every gallon of Rio Grande cracked gasoline. And it costs you no more to buy this tetraethyl treated gasoline, refined by the most costly and elaborate cracking process known. This patented process gives you something found in no other gasoline.
foreman.
Calling all cars, attention all cars. Attention all Los Angeles County Sheriff's cars. Cancellation brought to 1-8. Regarding a dead body found north of Long Beach. This case is now closed. That's all. Rose report. Latest copy of the Calling All Cars News, given away wherever Rio Grande cracked gasoline is sold. This is your narrator, Frederick Lindsay, bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.